Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. President Trump may have an emollient problem, and I'm not referring to the suppleness of his skin. This has to do with a court ruling. Let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. I think we remember the emollient controversy from the election, where it came up right after the president was elected, because he owns entities that are financed or patronized, at least, by foreign governments. And the Constitution says that no holder of public office is supposed to take any kind of emolument or payment from a foreign country. So explain this most recent ruling, Rob.
The thing about Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, is that it bars any federal office holder, including the president, from accepting any present, I think we understand what that means, no gifties,
right,
emolument, office, or title of any kind, whatever. So founders were worried about American office holders being tempted by knighthoods, for example. So if you're a federal office holder, you cannot receive a knighthood from Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. You cannot accept another office from a foreign government. You can't accept a gift. But what the heck is an emolument? They didn't say payment. They didn't use the word profit, et cetera. And so this word has been sitting there, but it's never been the subject of a court decision that we're aware of. The courts have never interpreted it. And, of course, under our Constitution, we rely on the courts to interpret constitutional language. So for the first time, we have a court ruling from a federal district court judge interpreting the word emolument and deciding that, in fact, it does, at least for the purpose of letting this lawsuit go forward, it does cover the profits that President Trump may be benefiting from his companies.
We're not talking about a bribe. A bribe implies a quid pro quo. An emolument that is defined simply as receiving money, whether or not you truly provide anything in return for that.
And to be clear, we're talking about money, profit, advantage, gain you derive from foreign companies,
right,
or foreign entities, just to be clear. So apparently it's perfectly fine if people from Pennsylvania go to the Trump or New Jersey go to the Trump International Hotel and spend lots and lots of money on the overpriced food there. but the question would be if all of a sudden Trump's hotels are extremely popular with foreign governments and their staff and, you know, people they send to the United States, does that run afoul of the emolument? If the ambassador shows up for a meeting at the White House and said, "Oh, President Trump, we really enjoy staying at your hotel and we spent lots and lots of money on room service," wink, wink. does that cross the line or not? I mean, this is going to be a difficult question for the court to answer, because, as I've said before in our talks, the court isn't only going to be concerned about how their ruling affects President Trump and his business activities. I mean, there's a solution, of course. President Trump can, really completely disassociate himself from, cut himself off from any game by
or just ask Congress to approve it. I mean, if Congress approves it, then it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. But they're going to be concerned as well about how their decision affects presidents in the future who may have come out of the private sector and may have businesses and continuing business interests that foreign governments can participate in by buying their products or services. So they're going to tread very, very carefully here, because the judiciary, is loath to call into question the constitutionality of a president's actions, and only does so when the unconstitutionality of his actions are crystal clear.
Well, how about this angle? You could argue that when that was adopted, the U.S. was a two-bit inconsequential country, which was particularly vulnerable to foreign influence. Today, as the most powerful country in the world, it's completely the opposite. Couldn't the Supreme Court say, look, this is really an anachronism, we're just going to dismiss it? Or the president might have sort of shot himself in the foot, because he's appointing people who are strict constitutional constructionists who wouldn't dare say any such thing.
I was thinking about the same thing. Justice Scalia was an originalist. He said, look, you take the Constitution as you find it, and you give import to the words in it that the founders had in mind. And, Justice Gorsuch and potentially Justice Kavanaugh, if he's confirmed, take the same view, because their idea is we don't rewrite the Constitution by reinterpreting it. If we want to change it, there's a path to do that. We amend it. But up to that point, we give it its original meaning. So, I agree with you that being an originalist could come back to haunt the president in this particular case. At the same time, the court is very practical as a body. And I think that they're going to tread carefully here because they don't want to appear to be micromanaging how the president, you know, conducts himself in office or how his sons conduct the business.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Dave.